You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
You're listening to episode number 34 of Living the Dream with Rory O'Malley. If you like the podcast, remember to subscribe, rate, and review, or just tell your friends.
Audition, side job, swimming upstream. Believe it or not, you're living the dream.
Hello, dreamers. Rory O'Malley here, and it's a very big day. It's a very big episode for me. I am recording this at 11 o'clock at night from my couch in Los Angeles. And it means I'm home. I am home in LA with my husband in the other room who's trying to sleep. And I'm returning after being away for basically a year and a half of doing a wonderful, amazing show, but my goodness, it has been difficult. It has been trying, not professionally, personally, to be away from my husband and the man that I love. And I am just so relieved that it's over and grateful to be married to someone who supports me and who's strong enough to deal with the difficulties of a long-distance relationship, marriage, over a year and a half. It's not easy, and I'm sure a lot of you have dealt with that and know how difficult that can be. But we got through it, and certainly we know the benefits of it, and you know, to be a part of Hamilton, to be a part of such a wonderful show that has changed not just theater, but a lot of people's lives, and it certainly has changed ours, and I'm so excited that I get to actually be in Los Angeles and perform this show 8 times a week. I was thinking recently that, you know, when I got out of college, I graduated from Carnegie Mellon with a degree in musical theater and moved to Los Angeles. And I'll never forget Josh Gad, my old buddy. He said that was the dumbest thing I could ever do. I make fun of him now, but he really thought that was so stupid that I was going to be moving to Los Angeles. But the truth was is that I auditioned for stuff on both coasts and no one really wanted to work with me in New York. In Los Angeles, I had a couple people. Okay, one. I had one person who wanted to work with me, a manager. And I'm so glad that I took the step to come and live in this city first, because I don't think that I would ever call it a home if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't really paid my dues and had a lot of difficult times here of learning how to be an adult. That being said, one of the things that was so hard for me was I couldn't get anyone to come see me in the plays that I was doing in Los Angeles. I was doing stuff at Gary Marshall's theater or at other 99-seat theaters around town, and I would send out postcards and beg people, casting people, agents, anyone, please, please come see me in this experimental play I'm doing. Please come see me in this children's theater production, which I'm sure will land me a role on NCIS. which is what you do when you're an actor in Los Angeles or New York. You have to put yourself out there and ask people in the industry to come see you in live theater. Well, I opened my email today to a mound of requests or people asking how can they get tickets to Hamilton in Los Angeles. And well, my answer is easy. I don't know. I'm looking for them myself. But I couldn't help but be overwhelmed with gratitude to be able to return to this city and to be absolutely bombarded with requests to come see the play that I'm in. Yes, I know it's Hamilton. Yes, it's more than a play. Yes, it's what it is. But, you know, I've loved this city so much, and I've loved the theater scene, and I got my equity card in Los Angeles. This is my theater home in many ways, and I love the theater community out here. It is strong and rich and fearless. They do a lot of amazing things out here. I just can't believe that I get to perform this show 8 times a week and I don't have to ask anyone to come. They're all gonna come. They're all gonna show up. And I'm going to really take that with me every time I walk out on stage in Los Angeles. That, you know, 22-year-old who moved to LA and was scared out of his mind gets to walk out onto the Pantages stage and know that everyone has been waiting to see this show, has worked really hard to get in to see me be a part of something so great. So I'm home. I'm home in so many ways. I'm home. My husband's in the other room. I'm home. Got to go to my favorite deli down the street. I'm home because I get to report to the Pantages in a couple of days for our first run through of the show. And I could not be more grateful to the city and to Hamilton. So, you know, I know I'm going on and on, but it's a big day for me. It's a big moment that I've had my eye on for the last year and a half. And now that it's here, I'm just full of joy. And I'm really grateful to all these people who've been listening to this podcast for over the last, it's almost been a year of doing this. And one of the reasons I did it is because I wanted people to know about the more challenging parts of this business, because people just look at it as, you know, glossy and exciting, and yeah, that's just on the outside. There are sacrifices and difficulties and harder parts to it. That being said, I'm so excited to be here. So my guest this week is Raymond Maynard, who is in the ensemble of the Hamel Tour and is absolutely amazing. He is a very tall man. He's a tall drink of water. And as you know, we have a very tall cast. It's like a theme that we have. I'm 6 foot and I'm one of the shorter people in the show. Raymond is incredibly talented. He has a wonderful story, and the story of his mother and why he got into theater and why he keeps going in theater is one of the most beautiful ones that I've had on this podcast, and I'm so honored that he shared it with us, that I know a lot of you will identify with. And so please enjoy my conversation with the lovely Raymond. Honestly, I just feel like getting to talk to everybody in the cast has been just great to get to know everyone, right, you know? Right, like, right. It's so rare that I get a chance to sit down. It's rare I get a chance to see anyone
yeah,
at all.
That's true. Oh, my gosh. Because
I've never had any crossover.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And it's different because on Broadway, the theater is so much smaller that everyone's on top of each other.
Yeah,
I felt like I was with each other. Area. Yes, there's a little common area under the stage at the Richard Rogers, and everybody gathers around the table. And we
sounds
don't have
nice.
That. Well, you guys have the nice. You have the you know, the crossover.
Which is great, because you guys have to go, in order to get to the other side, you have to go through the basement.
All the way down.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Which is annoying, but that's how I get to see
each other. Right.
I would just like hang out down there and get to talk with people. But now, you know, you guys hang out in that crossover, and if I'm standing there, I'm basically just in the way.
Same for us.
Really? Yeah. If you're not there,
getting changed and
If you're not supposed to be there, you feel weird about being there.
Right. I understand it.
Yeah. But most of what I do in Hamilton is make sure I'm not in the way.
Ha!
That's my most important job.
But you know, that's never the case with you.
Well,
I love you. Yeah, we really appreciate you being here and all that great stuff, really. And the audience loves you, of course.
Well, so. it's been fun to get to go from. We're on, by the way, if I haven't said it.
I was like, I see.
You're on.
I see the recording.
This is my phone recording. I've got the computer recording.
Yeah.
We're good to go.
Awesome.
But I feel like really, I'm just so happy that I got to start a company, and that a company as great as you guys are. But you know, it's kind of like I was joining a team that was already playing the game before. And here it was like we're all starting at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's fun because I know how everyone is far along in the process as I am. Of course, you've all worked exponentially more than I have.
But
you're all so much nicer. You know, that everyone wants to give me credit where I don't deserve it.
No, but I mean, you've just been doing it for, you know, a long time.
That's true. I am in show 450 or something. Woo! Like that. I don't know. Maybe 450,
wow.
460.
Wow.
Now, let's start from the beginning.
All right.
Raymond, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Linden, New Jersey.
Really?
Just a random spot.
Linden, New Jersey. Is it that far away from the city?
Yeah, I would say maybe it's about, if I were to drive, it'd be about a 45-minute drive into the city, which is not far at all.
Sure.
By train, it's maybe a 25-minute
commute, okay.
So it's not bad. So I was close enough to, you know, get to see Broadway shows, which is what my mom would like to do. And she'd like to take us along as kids. So, it was nice that we were far enough from the city where we weren't in it, but, you know, close
what
enough.
What Broadway shows did you see when you were a kid?
Oh, my goodness. It's like endless amount. Of course, The Lion King. I saw that a bunch of times. We saw Beauty and the Beast. We saw Chicago. We saw, what's another one that my mother loved? She loved Aida.
So we saw that
a bunch of times.
Listen, that was my husband's first Broadway show, and he still talks about it. No, that he saw.
Oh, that he saw. Stop
He's not an actor. But he saw Aida, and that was his first time seeing a Broadway show. And he still talks
amazing.
About his mom turning to him at intermission and just crying and saying, "It's just so good."
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've had plenty of those. And of course, Wicked. Seeing Wicked was like one of my mother's favorite shows. So I really enjoyed just that time that I had to see Broadway.
Having access to it that way.
Didn't think I would do it though.
Really?
I honestly did not know. I didn't know I would do any type of musical theater, because training or growing up, I grew up as, you know, dance major. I'm dancing. That's what we do. And so I knew that I was going to go into some type of dance company, whether that be Alvin Ailey or Cedar Lake or any dance company that I thought I would, you know, want to pursue as I got older. But the opportunities came and I was like, wait, I think this is going to be... This is what I want to do. I think I want to do musical theater.
So you were in high school? Were you training in high school?
I was. I didn't go to a performing arts high school. I went to regular high school, public school, but
in New Jersey.
In Linden, New Jersey, and then I started training in dance. I started training in tap. I want to say I started at 7.
Wow.
I think I was 7. Yeah. And then my mom said, you should venture out into other styles, like modern, ballet, and jazz. I said, oh, well, okay. And I did at 9. And so, I danced. That's all I knew. And I thought that's all I was going to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, being in this show is like a shock for me. Speaking roles, and I'm singing a lot more than I ever thought I would.
Right.
So, musical theater, it's great. I love it.
So you're training in high school, but where did you go after high school?
So For college?
Yeah.
For school? I went to SUNY Purchase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was in upstate New York. And it was great. Again, like I was training day in and day out to be a dancer.
It was a conservatory type setting?
It was. Wow. It was conservatory. And I would have different choreographers come in and they teach us choreography and ask me to be in their pieces and all that great stuff. So I just knew that I was going to just be in a dance company.
Yeah.
But after college and even during, I want to say around my junior year and my senior year, I had some opportunities to work with some companies close.
Yeah.
Which was great, but it was just really, really shady, and it wouldn't have been a stable job in any ways. They were really just giving me a hard time with contracts and signing the contract. And am I going to work with you? We like you, but we want to keep you around. And I'm like, but you don't want to pay me. So,
and this is you dealing with them on your own.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh.
On our own. So
is that typical for a dancer in that situation to not have an agent or some other person?
Mm-hmm.
You're shaking your head. Yes.
Absolutely.
That's, yeah.
Especially, you know, coming out of school,
right.
You know, to get picked up by dance companies is like, oh, this is great.
Right.
And you get it, but
you get whatever they give you.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be very,
and you have to kind of pick up on your own if it's right or not.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Right.
If you're happy with that, then by all means,
right.
You know, but you know, if you know that you want more and you know you can have more, you wait.
You sure. Wait for the right placement, because it's once you sign into something, it's like going into, it feels like a dance company is kind of like going into another college.
Yeah.
Like a master's program or something.
Yeah. They have you sign a contract for maybe a year or 2 years, depending on what they need. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of once you're there, you're there, you know, until whatever agreement you made is up. You know, so
right.
Yeah, and it's a lot of work, and what we do is a lot of work as well, but it's different because they have you, you know, every day it's like a 9 to 5, but you're working from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then you have the shows and then you're touring on top of that, and then, you know, then you stop and then they have you come back and then you're back at the 10 and 6 and you're doing
things in rep. Is it like you're rehearsing one thing and during the day and performing another at night?
Usually they have you, they'll have seasons in which they'll have choreographers come in and they'll teach you rep or different pieces that you'll perform for a season performance or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they'll have maybe, I want to say, usually companies have about like 10 pieces that they'll rotate that you'll perform. And I've never gotten to dance in any company. This is just from my friends who are in companies now and different companies that I've worked closely with.
Right.
You know, told me what their routine was.
Right. Like, so you were maybe going to go into that and then you decided it's not for me. Not right now.
Yeah. Actually, I had a really big loss my junior year of college. My mother had passed away. And so when she passed, I 2 days after her funeral, I was back at school, you know.
Yeah.
So I was dancing and I didn't really have time to grieve.
Yeah.
So after I graduated college my senior year, I stopped. I was like, I just need a break. So I took about 8 to 9 months off.
Yeah.
Worked at Starbucks, which was great.
It's a great job.
And I stayed in Westchester. I didn't go back to Jersey. I stayed in Westchester
where SUNY Purchase was. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly. And then, I worked at Starbucks in that area and I liked it. But I realized that that's not my calling.
It's not what you've worked so hard for.
Yeah.
It's a great job to have while you're going towards
great. Yeah, exactly. I loved working there.
Yeah.
But I started auditioning and, you know, my family said, "What do you want to do?" I said, "I want to do everything."
Yeah.
And like, you should be more specific. Go after what you want, write it down, make a list, do what you need
to
do.
Who's saying this to you?
This is my family, my aunts, my uncles,
people
in my life. And I'm like, okay, well, okay. I looked up some auditions on playbill.com and I saw auditions for Wicked. I saw Lion King, some dance companies that I even saw, Cedar Lake and Ailey.
Right.
And so I got a call from Lion King. And so then I started that tour, and I've been with them for 3.5 years.
Now, let's hold on. So you go through finishing up school.
Mm-hmm.
You have a huge loss.
Yeah.
you take some time off. 8 to 9 months isn't really a lot of time off.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know it can feel that way, especially when you're young. It's like that's a large chunk of your life. But so a lot of that has got to be, how do you keep moving forward, especially when your mother, who you lost, is so tied to the dream
and what you do,
of what you created. So there's got to be a lot of, you know, the things that bring you the most passion sometimes can bring you the most pain.
Exactly. Yes.
When you have a lot of, you know, you want to kind of hide for a second, just to kind of give yourself a break from the pain.
Right.
So, what was your process of like going into those auditions, you know, and making yourself vulnerable? Like, how do you step through that kind of, not just the vulnerability of being in an audition, but of what you had gone through that year?
Yeah, I'm really grateful because the family that I stayed with, I met them in Westchester, and they were really big on helping me grieve.
Yeah.
And so they were really trying to help me to not necessarily get over it or let it go, but to cope and to use my life experience to help me to excel and to be a light and to be an inspiration for other people.
Yeah.
So honestly, I felt that after she passed, I knew that in order for me to cope with her not being there physically, I knew that it obviously was going to be a spiritual connection between my mother and I. And the only way I felt connected was when I would do what I did, which was dance and sing and act and all those great things. So it was honestly a blessing for me because she liked to be at every single show that I ever did. You know how many shows that is?
Yeah.
Like, come on. I mean, even growing up, even at college, she would drive up maybe an hour and a half, I would say, to even small shows. I'm like, Ma, I'm literally just showing my face for 5 seconds. You don't have to be here. She's like, I want to be here to see the show.
Yeah.
So in order for her to be there with me spiritually eight shows a week, there's no way she can be there with me physically 8 shows a week.
Right.
So to have that spiritual connection, I feel that, you know, when I perform. I have friends, that people who don't even know me, that'll reach out, who've seen different shows that I performed, and they'll reach out to give me words of encouragement. They're like, man, I felt something, you know, there's something there with you. It's not just, you know, and that brings me joy. That means that, you know, she's with me. That really gets me through, and it gives me hope, you know, to keep pushing, to keep going for what I want. So,
wow, Raymond.
Yeah,
that's
really
beautiful.
Thank
you.
Now
that's got to be hard, but what a beautiful way to keep her with you, to know that she's with you on stage. The way that you just put that, you know. I know my mom wants to be at every show.
Of course.
It's impossible, you know, and how
yeah.
beautiful that your mom is, because you know that she's with you. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So Lion King.
Oh.
So you auditioned for Lion King. Was it an open call?
How
did you get the audition?
I don't have an agent.
Right.
And I didn't have an agent when I auditioned.
Yeah.
I just saw
And this is like about a year out of college.
About a year out of college. And I think it was an equity call.
Okay.
And I asked a couple of my friends who would go to these auditions, and they said, you don't have to be equity. You just have to get there early.
Yeah.
Sign up.
Right.
You know.
People don't know about that call. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, this is great. So I'll just go early and show my face and hope for the best. And I went in, and it was just my time. And it's funny because I saw Lion King, and this is actually one of the most incredible memories I have. But my mom, we had woke up, we're getting ready to go to school, and she goes, you guys aren't going to school today. And I was like, well, that's great. You know, I'm 8 years old. And I'm like, awesome.
That's enough
of a great
surprise.
I don't care what we're doing. I'm like, all right, we don't have to go to school.
Right.
And she said, put on your clothes that I laid out. It was, you know, dress shirt and a vest and all this. And, you know, we get on the bus to the city. She never liked to drive into the city.
For sure.
And, you know, we're walking down Manhattan streets, and I'm just following my mom, and we walk around the corner, and there's this big old Lion King, and I'm like, no, no, no. And she's like, yes, I got you guys tickets to see the show. So in order for me to have that experience and have that memory and then be in it, it's just, it's really, it was mind-blowing for me.
Yeah.
So I'm... Yeah. And 3.5 years. I mean, like,
I'm you did it for three and a half years. For 3.5 years?
Yes.
So, okay. Yep. That's what I really do want to talk to you about, what it's like to tour with a show for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah.
It is, it's got to be, I mean, we're on a tour, but I don't, you know, we've been in the same city for 5 months.
Right.
We're just about to move to our next city, LA? Which we'll be in for 5 months as well. So it's not your typical tour.
Mm-mm.
How long would you stay in each city?
About a month to 2 months, depending on the city. If it was a popular city like Hawaii, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., we stay for 2 months.
Right.
Because there are more people there, more people want to see
it. Bigger city.
But for the most part, a month.
That's great.
In about 4 weeks. So, yeah. 3.5 years. And it was crazy because a lot of the people that I worked with had been touring with The Lion King for years.
Really?
And so I thought that was a normal thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was one of the guys that I worked with, Frank. He's been with The Lion King since the very beginning.
Wow.
That's 20 years. He's been touring with them since they opened the tour.
Wow.
So that was 15 years.
What does he play?
He's a swing. He's also a cover for Mufasa. And yeah.
Yeah.
Swing and the show, vocal track.
Right.
So everyone else that I worked with was in the show for 5 years and on the road for 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, is that,
this
I guess what that's
I'm
what
doing.
I have to do. So, you know, a year, 2 years in, I'm like, well, I haven't even, you know, reached the tip of the iceberg. Some people have been here for so much longer.
Sure.
You know, but it was hard. It was really hard being on the road.
Yeah.
You're away from your family.
Yeah.
You know, your tribe, your people that keep you grounded.
Right.
So I had to learn to connect with people in a city, and then you connect with them for a month, and then you say, okay, bye. You have to do it again. You know, so it was really difficult but rewarding. You know, I met some really great people there. So
Do you become incredibly close with the people that you're working with, right? Because they're the only people you know when you get to a new city.
Yeah, that's your life. I think it's different. It's so different because in New York, from, you know, different people that I know who work in New York, they're telling me, we have our own lives.
Yeah.
You know, we come to work at night, but for the most part, you know, we get to, you know, teach or take class or audition or work with their agents in New York. But on the road, it's like, you're in that city just for that show.
Yeah.
So it can become a little like mind-boggling.
Yeah.
You know?
You're in a bubble.
Yeah. And so you reach out to your coworkers, your friends, the people who are around you, and that becomes your extended family.
Right.
So I've built a lot of great friendships in that tour for 3.5 years. Yeah.
So 3.5 years, 3 years comes around. Did you start saying, okay, I've got to find a way out, find the next thing?
Yep. I think because dancers, classically trained dancers, we're trained to not do the same thing eight shows a week. We're not trained for that. We're trained to learn something for about 2 or 3 months. We perform it for a weekend or 2 weekends, and that's it.
Move
you never
on.
Hear about it again. You move on. So to be a part of a show, even I want to say 3 weeks in, the first time I joined Lion King, something had happened on stage where we had to do a contingency, or we had to move some rocks and some bones at one point, but something was out of place. For me, that was exciting.
Oh,
and I had said to one of my friends who had been performing 8 shows a week for years, and I said, man, finally something new happened. He's like, oh man, dude, you're only 3 weeks in. You're going to be doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man. And as the years went by, you know, you look up, it's a year. You look up again, it's a year two.
Yeah.
And so I want to say about 2.5 years in, I put in a request for a personal leave just to see if I just needed to rest and then come back and still would want to be there, or if I wanted to just, you know, move on, you know? And so I went on this leave and it was great. And I knew once I got back, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm ready to move on. It was great. I love it.
What did you do on your leave? You took vacation?
Yeah.
Connected to
yourself? Yeah, I just stayed in Manhattan, tried that out, because I actually never lived in Manhattan before.
Wow.
So that was really exciting for me to be in Manhattan. I stayed with a family, basically, my extended family. My family knew them, and So I stayed in Chelsea.
Nice.
It was like
that's amazing. The way to do it.
Yeah, it was incredible. I stayed in Chelsea, and it was close to all the dance locations yeah. that I wanted to go to. It's
yeah.
pretty much central, you know. So
it's all auditions. Awesome. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I had that experience. Yeah, but I knew once I got back, I said, all right, I'm ready to, you know, try something new. And yeah. then, of course, Hamilton, I heard about that.
So yeah. It's
really...
So you showed up, did you show up for an open call in the same way?
I did. We were, Lion King was in Chicago, uh-huh. so I was there with them, and this was, I want to say, yeah, a little over a year ago.
Okay.
In January, end of January, February 2016. 16. And so I saw there was an open call, and I went in there, and it was great. I had fun. I loved the choreography. I was like, man, if I get to do this show, it would be so different than what I was used to.
Right.
You know, in Lion King, you're portraying an animal.
Right.
So I was the bird soloist. I was a hyena at one point. Wow. I was a wildebeest. I was a trickster. I was all these things. So to be a human being and do choreography that, you know, was different.
To be a human being.
Yeah, to be a human being. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy. But, you know, I went into the open call and didn't hear anything for months. And then I want to say about 6 months later, they contacted me and asked to see me. So that was pretty cool.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how long of a wait it can be after you audition for something. You don't get a no. You don't get a yes.
Nope.
You get a, oh, yeah, you're on file.
All right. And they're like, okay, great.
Yeah.
You don't know how many people are before you
yeah.
or what they're considering you for, because sometimes it's not about your talent, it's what they need, it's what
right.
an aesthetic that they're looking for,
or just being a part of a puzzle, and they're look right. they have all these different puzzle pieces, and they're trying to put something together
exactly.
that makes sense.
Exactly.
It's what it is so much of the time that
it's not
personal, and it's not about your talent, but man, it's hard to remember that when you're waiting those
goodness.
6 months.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is going on?
I said, I'm going to have to just go do another audition because they probably don't even know who I am anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
did you go to another audition for Hamilton?
They invited me in May, and I was on my leave of absence from Lion King. And it was perfect. And they invited me to come for the casting of the Chicago company.
Right.
So I was like, oh, this is great. So I went in there. And I didn't hear anything again.
Right.
And I saw, you know, different people that booked the show. And I was like, oh, man. And I felt a little sad because I knew that it was a height thing.
Yeah. Because how tall are you?
I'm 6'2".
And that
is 6'3".
6'2", almost 6'3". That's a very big deal for a dancer, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And usually for dancers that are that tall, there are not many dancers that are that tall.
No.
So they usually either get like a small feature, or they're in the back, or they're used when they need some partnering or things
right.
like that. So it's not often that we get like first dibs or, you know, people want to call us first because there's not many people that look like us,
right.
you know? So,
and you aren't just tall. You are the very, very nice man, but you could kill me in 2 seconds. You are ripped.
Okay,
I don't want to say it, but I know you wouldn't, but you are... Your body is huge for a dancer. Like, I've never seen a dancer as big and ripped as you. There aren't many, right? I'm not an
not
expert
many.
At dance, but
not
you
many.
You are you're very commanding physique. So, and I remember Andy when you guys were having a rehearsal, him saying, "You guys are very fast for tall people," or something like that. And I was
that.
Like, "Is he talking to everyone? Because everyone's tall, but or
oh
is he talking
gosh.
To Raymond?"
Yeah, I mean, well, I knew that once they got this cast, it was awesome to hear. You know, Stephanie Clemens, the associate choreographer, was telling me that they wanted to hire me, but I was so tall.
Yeah,
and my look was so different than everyone else that was auditioning, and usually for what Andy works with, Andy doesn't work with male dancers that are taller than 5'10",
right.
like that, you know?
Right.
So for them to consider me and for them to cast, you know, a lot of the people in this cast are a lot taller than, you know, what they're used to working with.
Yeah,
so
everyone,
really
principals
cool.
and everything, there's a lot of tall
goodness,
people.
Yeah.
I'm 6 foot and I feel short here.
Yeah, standing next to Jordan.
Yeah.
I always feel a little short.
Yeah, Jordan or Jefferson Lafayette. How tall is he?
Yeah, he's about 6'4".
Yeah.
Was he 6'4"?
Yeah.
That's really, Mavinese, another tall guy.
Yeah.
You know, so Leia, Amber.
Yeah, and the ladies too.
Emmy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just,
it was
know.
The, it was, it's the Raymond cast. Like, it's the perfect cast for you. And,
well,
you know, like,
blend in.
You blend in terms of height, but you stand out in your talent.
Thank you so
I told
much.
You, my mom brought you
yeah,
up.
Yeah, your mom.
She didn't get
sweet.
To meet you. She will in LA. She'll be back.
Oh, that's so
but
sweet.
She was just amazed at how wonderful
man.
Of a dancer you are. And you know, the whole, this whole company, to get to hear people talk about the ensemble and the dancers and how incredible they are is just, I mean, they're obviously always wonderful, but I'm so proud of all of you because I know how much you're putting out there. I see how hard you work, how you're warming up before I even get to the theater. In your booties.
In my booties.
I love your booties.
Yes, shout out to Deidre.
You gotta go have your who made them?
Deidre.
Oh,
she's
yes.
one of my friends. Just got engaged, actually.
Aww.
And she worked at Lion King, and so she made her a business, I guess, out of just making like scarves and booties and all that. So.
Yes, you have to go on his Instagram and see the booties. And
yes.
see how tall
man.
He is.
I love booties.
But yeah, no, you guys work so incredibly hard, which is another reason why I'm so glad. Thank you for talking to me in between shows.
Of course.
This is not,
thank you so much.
Not easy. But okay, so you know you're in Hamilton, you know, like this is it's pretty crazy. It's also pretty far from where you thought you would be since musical theater wasn't really a part of it. How has it wasn't a part of your dream, of your vision for yourself. How has being a part of this cultural phenomenon affected you?
Oh man. I would say it's definitely humbled me to be a part of, you know, Clarence Jones when he came to see the show this past weekend.
Clarence Jones, who wrote the I Have a Dream speech with Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah.
Amazing to hear this man talk about how awesome it is to be a part of history.
Right.
I mean, Hamilton is history.
Right.
It's mind blowing for me because it's just humbling that someone would say, hey, yeah, I want to have him in the show to tell this story to people who are inspired by this all over the world.
Right.
I've been humbled. I've been challenged, you know, because like I said, I never thought I would ever sing this much in my life. I've never sang so much and dance at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and acting, having a speaking role is incredible for me. It's
George Eaker.
Yeah, George Eaker. Interesting role, but play the bad guy. But it's just given me a lot of confidence in knowing that I can push, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, if I put my mind to it and there are people around me who believe in me, it just, man, it just opened so many doors in my mind of what I could do. I was so limited to just being, oh, I'm a dancer. That's what we do.
Right.
Not in this case. You
right.
know, you're an actor. You're a storyteller. You're a singer.
Right.
You know, you get to be a part of history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's opened my mind and heart to so many other, I don't even know the words to say. It's
right.
just, it's opened so many doors.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I'm really grateful.
Yeah.
Very, very grateful.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to put into words and it will continue, you know, for me, it's been, I felt like I kind of got as much as the universe was going to give me in the career. And so to be able to be a part of this has just been like, woof.
And you have quite the resume, my friend. Oh, my goodness.
Well, when you're the oldest person in
please.
The cast, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
please. People are getting their equity cards on this job. So
it's so funny. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Which is beautiful. And, what I was saying to Lauren, you know, is that, like, getting to have the perspective that I have of, you know, which isn't that much time in this business, but I love that I get to see people having this be their first job or their second job, their second major job, like
second.
You know, like this is such a big deal, and that I am so inspired by the passion and enthusiasm that you guys bring to it.
Wow.
You know, that every day you are ready to go, and yeah. You throw yourself into each performance in a way that I don't have to do. I did. I swear. I was in Book of Mormon. I was tap dancing. I had 17 costume changes. I sweated a lot.
That show.
Okay.
You do a lot. A lot in that show.
Okay.
You've worked hard.
I worked hard in my life.
Yes. Oh yes, I know.
But I always feel the Catholic guilt when I see you guys working so hard, and I'm headed back to read Twitter in my dressing room for another 45 minutes.
I love it.
But you know, I'm just inspired by the amount of work that you guys have put in to the show and this company, and how beautiful to get to find out that your performance, that your passion has been inspired and continues to be surrounded by your mom.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like that is, that's something that I think, you know, like I have those, the people who I know that have given me so much who aren't around to get to be a part of it. And right. I feel that, you know, when I walk out on stage that they're there, and how wonderful to have that angel with you. So, and also I know that you are someone who has a strong faith.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, what I always want to talk about with people on this podcast is what gets you through the harder times. And I think that, you know, when I see people with strong faith, I think like, well, that's amazing. I always have had a strong faith. I grew up Catholic, but it's something that I know that you have in practice. And I think you have that, and also working out. Because I'm so afraid for you to see what I do in the gym. When you were like tying things to yourself and lifting your body.
I'm trying to get more out of my time while I'm in the gym.
Yeah, and I'm the opposite. I'm like, as long as I'm in the building for an hour, I get all the credit.
Oh my goodness.
I don't have to do anything. You know, it's like, if I can finish this game of Candy Crush, that's a full workout.
I love it.
But you clearly have a practice.
Yeah.
You know, that's a spiritual practice and a physical practice that aren't, they are related, of course, to what you do as a dancer and a performer, but they're not, you know, that there's something else. And how, you really have to commit yourself to those things. Yes. How do you find the energy to do that?
Oh man, I've been really fortunate to have the people in my life that I do have.
Uh-huh.
Because my mom, for one, she was a woman of, she battled cancer for 11 years.
Wow.
So, you know, through it all, she was a pillar for a lot of for a lot of people. People would look up to her and, you know, just see, like, how do you keep a smile on your face? How do you, you know, keep going? She was a teacher. She was a singer, a dancer, a model, an actress, a playwright, the whole nine. She did everything. So to have that as my example as well, you know, is amazing. So for me to go into SUNY Purchase and meet the people that I did that were in my church, they reached out and they showed me kindness that they didn't know me. They didn't know me, you know, and to be around me at that time when I was going through such, you know, a loss, you know, and to love me through whatever I was dealing with at that time, it was just amazing for me. And for them to stick around after the fact and encourage me and want the best for me, and I, to have that as my foundation, as my anchor, man, it's a blessing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful. And again, like I said, to have my mom, her example for me, you know, there are students that she had. She, you know, like I said, battled cancer for 11 years, but there are people who started nonprofit organizations because of her. You know, my mom was their teacher when they were 7-8 years old. So now, you know, they're like, I started this because of, you know, Karen Williams. She inspired me. And to have someone like that, who was my mom, that, you know, that pushes me, you know, that pushes me to keep going and, you know, to want to inspire people. I don't want to just like, all right, here we go, 8 shows a week, the same thing. I want to inspire, you know, I want to encourage. I want to people to feel something, you know, from what I do.
You know,
so,
well, I'm inspired by getting to talk with you, and the sound department is clearly inspired to start testing out our speakers before tonight's show.
Yeah, exactly.
They did tell me they were going to start at 6:45. At 6:44, about an hour and 15 minutes so before the performance. Little, okay, they're a little early. That's all right. That's all right.
That's okay.
But I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for your candor and for, you know, listening to the podcast and knowing what we're talking about here and for, you know, just talking to me. I'm grateful to know you and I'm grateful to perform on stage with you.
Ditto. Thank you so much, Rory. I appreciate this.
I appreciate it too. All right, let's go do this show again.
Yes. Let's do it. All right.
Audition side job, swimming upstream. Believe it or not, you're living the dream.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.